Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you as we gather together on this day, this Lord's Day, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Glad to see you all here as we begin our worship again in the sanctuary. We will not have communion today, as you may have figured out. We will be having communion on the first Sunday in October, so please prepare to be with us for that time. Please also read, make sure you read your bulletin, as well as go to our webpage to stay abreast of all that will be happening here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Just another plug for our Wednesday Bible study, which starts at 11 a.m. We are wrapping up studying the book of Revelation, but please, we invite you to come and join us for that time during the midweek as well. Friends, our gospel reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be reading from chapter 14 of Luke's gospel, beginning at verse 25 and reading through verse 33. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. Now great multitudes accompanied Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and take counsel whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an embassy and asks terms of peace. So therefore, whoever of you does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Sometimes I admit that I just wish Jesus would chill out just a little bit. Sometimes the things that he says are a little difficult for us to hear, or at least a little difficult for me to hear. If anyone thinks being a preacher is easy, I would ask you to please read again our passage. They are harsh words, difficult words, words that are totally counterculture to the way we live and think. And the temptation for most of us preachers is to skip over them and preach something a little bit more palatable. But they are, of course, the Lord's words spoken to his would-be disciples. So it's my duty this morning to help us to grapple with them, no matter how uncomfortable they might make us feel. Jesus, of course, is on his way to Jerusalem, and the text says he has with him something that every preacher, every politician, every celebrity, every business person who wants to sell you something has. He has the crowds. A great multitude of people, we are told, are following him, and that's just wonderful because crowds are very important. It's what we all want. We want the crowds. We want the multitudes. We want the numbers. But instead of wanting to exult in the crowds, Jesus does something quite interesting. He turns to the crowd and he tells them in no uncertain terms that if they really want to follow him and be his disciples, that it's going to cost them something. There's a cost, he says. Consider the cost. And it's at this point, I think many of us preachers might want to say, no, Jesus, whatever you do, don't tell people that. Don't tell them there's going to, it's going to cost them something. Accentuate the positive. Tell them there's more to come. Tell them there's more miracles coming, more healing, more bread, more blessings. For goodness sake, don't tell them there's going to be a cost. They might never come back. But Jesus, of course, isn't interested in numbers. He's interested in disciples. And so he tells them that if they want to be his disciples, it's going to cost them something. We all, of course, know about cost. A cost is something you give up, something you sacrifice in order to get something else. There's the old adage that says that if you have to ask the cost of something, you probably can't afford it. And I don't know about you, but I always have to ask. I always have to consider the cost. I may have told you many, many years ago, I used to work at a finance company making household loans to working people in Georgia. And one of the forms we had to have customers to sign was a disclosure form laying out the cost of the loan after all the fees and the insurance and the interest was paid and added in. And it would be the last form we would have the customer to sign, and we would always talk kind of fast because we didn't want the customer to have time to really consider the cost and go through all the cost. And we preachers are quite good at fast talking, but no one can accuse Jesus this morning of fast talking. Jesus is very much up front. He wants all of us to know, all of us who have been following him, all of us who come here Sunday after Sunday, all of us who have already demonstrated some commitment to him. He wants us to know that being his disciples is going to cost us something. It's going to cost, Jesus says, everything. It may even cost you your very lives. And that's what he wants us to do. He says, consider the cost. Now, of course, there are always cheap imitation varieties of the faith that can be had at a considerable discount. They won't cost you very much, but you get what you pay for. And usually what you get with the cheap varieties is not something that can really transform your life and transform the world around you. And you can usually tell the cheap imitation because they usually put something at the center of what it means to be a follower of Christ. Something they believe is more important. I knew someone at a church I used to attend many years ago, and he was a very devoted Christian, a very devoted follower of Christ, and he was very much into what he called family values. He was very much involved with an organization that focused on the family. And please understand that I'm very much a family values kind of guy. Families are very important. Our families are very, very important. They are the first people God gives us to help us, to teach us what it means to be human. We ought to love and to cherish and to sacrifice for our families. The Bible tells us to honor our families, to honor our father and honor our mother, to honor our children, to love them and to care for them. And yet the impression I got from this guy is that he cared more about families than he did about Jesus. He was talking more about families than he was ever talking about Jesus. And I often wondered, what if in some ways the family came to be in tension with what Jesus was calling for? And we heard Jesus this morning, whomever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even life itself, cannot be my disciples. Harsh words. I imagine when Jesus uttered them, a lot of people kind of turned around and the crowds kind of thinned out a little bit. Please don't get caught up on the word hate that's used here. Jesus isn't saying that we ought to have a strong emotional dislike for our families. The word is used here in a comparative way. It means to love something less. And the point that Jesus is making is that if we love something more than we love him, then we cannot be his disciples. For Jesus, it's about priority. Jesus and his coming kingdom, he is saying, should take priority over everything else in our lives. He should take priority over our family. He should take priority over all of our relationships. He should take priority over our hopes and our desires. He should take priority over all of our accumulated stuff. There is no aspect of our lives that we should love more than we love Jesus. In the passage of Scripture, right before our reading this morning, Jesus tells a parable, the parable of a great banquet, a banquet that is being prepared, and the man has invited guests, and when the banquet is finally ready, he sends his servant out to go tell the guest, and all of the guests have excuses. One of them says, "I can't come because I just acquired a piece of land and I have to attend to it." Another says, "I can't come because I just bought 5 oxen and I have to attend to them." And the third one says, "I can't come because I just got married. And you know how it is. I have to be there for my wife, so I can't come. I can't come to the banquet." And Jesus says that if we're going to be his followers, it's going to cost us all of our other priorities. It's going to cost us all of the other things that we put at the forefront of our lives. And so he tells us this morning to consider the cost. I had a friend of mine who had a diamond ring. She had bought it one time. And she got transferred to another job and was needing some money to move. And so she decided that she was going to sell the ring or hawk the ring or do whatever she was going to do with it. But she took it to the jeweler, and the jeweler looked at it and he says, "I'm sorry, but this is not a real diamond." We might need to make sure that the faith that we have, that the discipleship that we are exhibiting is the real thing. And one of the ways you can tell the real article of faith from the fake imitations is that genuine discipleship has a cross at the center of it. That's where Jesus is heading this morning. He's heading towards Jerusalem. He is heading towards the cross. And he tells those of us who have resolved to follow him that there's a cross for us too. I know that's not a terribly popular message. We'd much rather talk about something else this morning. We'd much rather talk about how God wants to make us happy, or how God wants to make us prosperous and successful, or how Jesus is our bomb in Gilead, whatever our Gilead might be. I know that. I'm a pastor. I like to go around. I watch the marquee signs out in front of churches, and I'm yet to see one that says, "Come and join us as we show you how to die." And yet that's what Jesus says this morning. He says, consider the cost. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Of course, even there, we have to be careful. We have to be careful when we talk about the cross, because a lot of people can use the symbols and the iconography of the Christian faith, including the cross, to further ends that are not in keeping what Jesus has called us to be. I lived a long time in the South, and there was once there a very robust kind of Christian faith that had a cross at the center of it. But it was a symbol of hatred. They would take the cross and they would burn it in people's yards, or they would take it on top of a high place and they would burn it for everyone to see. But it was a symbol of hate. But many people followed it. And of course, as a young man, I spent some time in Germany when I was stationed in Germany and in the army. And there was once a time in Germany when the cross was very prominent among Germans as well. It was a broken cross, a swastika, but it was a symbol of hate. And even today, there are those who would wrap the cross in an American flag and weld it as a weapon against those they have contempt for. But the cross, the true cross, the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, is not a symbol of hate, but it's a symbol of sacrificial, self-giving love. And that's what makes following Jesus authentic. That's what it means to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, if you walk this way, it's going to cost you. There's a cost. Consider the cost. We all know that. We all know that anytime we tell the truth, there's a cost associated. We live in a world that doesn't like the truth. We live in a world that doesn't want to hear the truth often. And so anytime you tell the truth, there's a cost. And Jesus is the truth. He is the way and the truth and the life. And Jesus says that whenever we are walking after him, whenever we are following him, it may very well cost us everything. It's a wonderful quote that I stumbled across reading one of the commentaries this week on this passage. It's from Alexander Solzhenitsyn, who was a dissident, a Russian dissident in the 1970s. He was thrown in prison in Russia before he was allowed to immigrate to the United States, but he was once sentenced to several years in prison, and at one time thought that he was going to have to spend his whole life in prison. And he wrote at one time, he said, from the moment you go to prison, you must put your cozy past firmly behind you. At the threshold, you must say to yourself, my former life is over. I shall never return. I no longer have property. Only my spirit and my conscience remain precious to me. I think that's true for all of us who are resolved to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. When we become disciples of Christ, we die to all the other priorities that once defined us. Our former lives, our former identities, our former positions, the things that told us we were somebody, or the things that might have told us we were nobody, whatever it was, the former life is over. But it's the portal of new life, the way of new life and new creation. The new creation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus ultimately wants for all of us. That's what he wants for me. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for the crowds that are following him this morning. He wants them to be people of new creation. He wants to be them to be people of new life. He wants them to see things in a whole new way. He wants them to be people who are themselves transformed and people who are able to transform the world. That's what he's calling them to. That's what he's calling all of us to this morning. But he says it all comes at a cost. There's a cost, he says. Consider the cost. Consider the cost of what it means to follow me. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, this morning you have called each and every one of us who is here today. You have brought us here to this place through your mercy and through your grace and through the great love that you have for each and every one of us. And you are calling us to follow you, to follow your way, to follow the way of the Lord Jesus Christ. But contrary to what our culture tells us, there is a cost associated with it, because love, true love, is always costly. It was costly for you, it was costly for our Lord, and the Lord reminds us it will be costly for us as well. But it's the only way to the new creation. It's the only way to a more loving, a more just, a more peaceful world. And so we ask this morning that you help us, empower us to be people who are willing to pay the cost. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.